Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Islam is not our adversary. Muslims are peaceful and tolerant people and have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism. The obsession in some quarters with a clash of civilization, or repeating the specific words radical Islamic terrorism, isn't just a distraction. It gives these criminals, these murderers, more standing than they deserve.
Now, we know Hillary Clinton is a serial liar. We know that she's a liar and has been a liar from the day she appeared on the national stage. But now she is aiding and abetting the enemy. Welcome to the Savage Nation. The fact is truth, even if she doesn't accept it, even if Obama's head is in the sand, or God knows where it is, even if the entire liberal media is deluding themselves into thinking there's no war by radical Islam against all people on earth, Muslims included, who do not see the world through their 7th century eyes. Apparently the idiot named Hillary Clinton didn't know about the Fort Hood massacre by Nidal Hassan, the Muslim psychiatrist. Apparently the idiot Hillary Clinton didn't remember that the Boston Marathon bombing was conducted by the Tsarnaev brothers. By the way, in those two cases, Nidal Hassan and Tsarnaev, they were not Christians. They were not Hindus. They were not Buddhists. They were not Jews. They did it for jihad. They yelled Allah Akbar or whatever. July 2015, four U.S. Marines shot dead by a lone Islamic gunman on U.S. Navy facilities in Chattanooga. May 2015 in Garland, Texas, Pamela Geller, along with her group, hosted a Draw Muhammad event. Elton Simpson and Nadia Saufi of Phoenix went to avenge the prophet. They traveled to Texas, where they were shot and killed by a security guard after opening fire in an attempt to kill her. September 25th, 2014, Alton Nolan is accused of beheading a woman in Moore, Oklahoma. Co-workers reported that Nolan had been trying to convert them to Islam. Nolan reportedly used some Arabic terms during his attack. Nolan told the judge, "I'm Muslim. My question is, do you have any Muslims that can represent me as a Muslim, Mrs. Clinton?" April 27, 2014. 30-year-old Muslim man Ali Muhammad Brown is accused of shooting to death two men in Seattle. According to reports, he told police the killings were vengeance for U.S. actions in the Mideast. March 6, 2014, registered sex offender James Cosby, 46, accused of bludgeoning his lesbian daughter to death and shooting a lover in Port Bolivar, Texas. He then dumped the bodies near a ferry gate. In his bedroom, Cosby had the Quran open to a page that says, "Homosexuality is a sin." Did you know that? Did you know that that happened? August 4th, 2013, a Muslim convert, Damon Agnew, went to an Ace Hardware store on a mission from Allah to help people before he fatally stabbed employee Daniel Joseph Stone, 17 times, Mrs. Clinton. April 15th, 2013, Mrs. Clinton, Muslim Chechen brothers Zokar Tsarnaev and Tamerlane Tsarnaev detonate two pressure cooker bombs during the Boston Marathon race, killing three people and injuring an estimated 264 others, Mrs. Clinton. Did you know that they were Muslims? March 31st, 2013, Rashad Riddle walked into an Astabula, Ohio church and fatally shot his father after an Easter service. After the shooting, witnesses say he walked to the church holding the gun and shouted that the slaughter was, quote, "the will of Allah. This is the will of God." February 7, 2013, Yusuf Abraham, 28, shot two Coptic Christians to death and beheaded them in Buena Vista, New Jersey. He also removed their hands before burying their bodies in the backyard of an abandoned house. Quran 8:12 states, "When thy Lord was revealing to the angels, I am with you, so confirm the believers. I shall cast into the unbelievers' hearts terror, so smite above the necks and smite every finger of them." January 15th, 2012, a Jordanian Muslim man, Mahmoud Awad Irsan, 57, gunned down Iranian medical student Gelara Bagadra, a friend of his daughter and a Christian convert who widely denounced Islam. He later killed his Christian son-in-law after his daughter married him without permission. I don't want to read any more of this. There are many, many, many more of them. They show that there is a war of terror going on, and it's coming from one particular, let us say, source. Hillary Clinton is a liar. She is doing the world a disservice by continuing to lie. And the fact of the matter is truth, even if she doesn't believe it or doesn't want to know it herself. Now, the same story is coming out of the mouths of the idiots in the leftist media, that Christians are more dangerous than Muslims, and that the Jews were denied entry in the 1930s, the same way the Syrians are being denied entry. Liberalism is a very serious derangement. It's a very serious mental disorder. They cannot even defend themselves. They will kill all of us unless the truth gets out. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Here's a headline for you. Trump doubles down, goes savage on Ben Carson from yesterday's show. Days after criticizing Donald Trump for his 95-minute rant against Ben Carson, talk radio host Michael Savage had the real estate mogul on his show to explain why he was attacking a fellow Republican instead of the likely Democrat nominee Hillary Clinton. Savage, who affirmed he still strongly supports Trump's bid for the White House, asked if Republican candidates should agree to attack Clinton and President Obama instead of each other. Trump said she was a terrible Secretary of State, maybe the worst ever, but I have to beat 15 people. I have to win before I can get to her, he said. Believe me, I think she's going to be easy. She had such a bad record. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of it. The article is written by WorldNet Daily, who is, they're my partners on the internet. And they posted an MP3 of the Trump appearance, I believe, where they wrote the article about it. I'm sure it's all over the internet by now. If you'd like to hear the interview, which was one of my best, phone number is 855-407-282. The website is michaelsavage.com. This came to me on Facebook. I can't read it to you. It's very long, but I'll read a few paragraphs. And it's from a man named, well, the code name is Magnus Carta, which obviously refers to the Magna Carta. And those of you who know history know what the Magna Carta is. It was the progenitor of our Bill of Rights and our Constitution in many ways. But nevertheless, his headline is, Michael Savage and Donald Trump are true heroes and guiding lights in the time of darkness. But listen to this. He writes this, Dr. Savage is banned from my country, but he is in good company. Did you know that Winston Churchill was banned from the BBC in the 1930s for warning about the threat of the Nazis? Like Churchill, Dr. Savage will be vindicated and remembered as a great man long after his naysayers have been long forgotten. Unfortunately, we're not living in a time of truth, but a time of feelings and of not offending anyone. What would be common sense in a sane age is seen as controversial in a time of political insanity and knee-jerk liberalism. And he goes on, and he talks about why people who have studied Islam in detail have to put up being called names by ignorant morons who know everything about football or reality TV but nothing about the real world. He said it's understandable why people do not speak out. Many people have Muslim friends or went to school with Muslims or work with them, and he's writing from Britain. They had a Muslim doctor look after them. Or they know the guy from the grocery store. They are all nice, peaceful people. So although many people understand what is going on, they don't want to offend anyone, while others are just ill-informed, ignorant, and choose not to believe it. To understand radical Islam, you should start by understanding the founder and prophet of Islam. Muhammad was no Jesus or Buddha. He was a warrior who ordered the beheading of 900 Jews and took their wives and daughters as sex slaves in a single battle. He writes this, look it up, the Kiraza genocide is just one example, but it's a good start. Tell that to the people who say ISIS does not represent Islam. And here comes a chilling statement. A few thousand Islamic warriors, no different from ISIS of today, brought down the superpowers of the day. The Christian Byzantine Empire, modern-day Turkey, and the Zoroastrian Persian Empire, modern Iran, and it is estimated that 100 million Hindus were killed in repeated Islamic invasions of India. Islam spread within 100 years of its birth to cover most of the known world from Spain to India. It did not do this by peacefully spreading the word of God, but through terror and destruction. The Persians, Byzantines, and Egyptians rivaled or even exceed Greece and Rome in their advancement. But under Islam, they stagnated and declined. Stop making excuses that the attacks are because of the Iraq war or because of what Israel is doing to the Palestinians. Islam has been attacking and trying to conquer Europe for 1,000 years. They succeeded in Spain until the Reconquista. And if Muslim armies had not been defeated at the Battle of Tours in 732 and at the gates of Vienna in 1683, the whole of Europe could have fallen to Islam. There would have been no Renaissance, no Enlightenment, no Industrial Revolution. We would be living in a dark age. I was recently at the British Museum, he goes on, and I noticed there were large sections called pre-Islamic Iran and pre-Islamic Arabia. They were full of incredible artifacts and antiquities. But in the whole British Museum, there is only one small room called the Islamic World, which displays a few gold-embroidered Qurans and glass mosque lamps. It speaks volumes. And he goes on. I mean, you can read it yourself. It's on my Facebook. Now, either you want to live with your head in the sand and have it chopped off, or you want to stand up and be counted. That's the opening to my program. This is the Savage Nation. It's a very sad day indeed when a woman who would be president continues to put out the big lie, the same lie that the idiot in the White House is putting out, the same lie being put out by the, what's the word I can use for the people in the news media like Jake Tapwater? It's depressingly sad. I'm going to also do some stuff today on health. One of my specialties. You want to live longer? Drink coffee, a new Harvard study says. Instead of white tuna, some sushi restaurants secretly serve cheap fish that may cause sickness. I'll do both of these stories on the Savage Nation to show you that there are fakers everywhere you turn. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Sound level. The House just approved a Syrian refugee screening bill defying the thin man's threat of a veto, right? The smoking thin man last night threatened the Congress. How dare you want to screen those Syrians? We want them all in here. He threatened to veto the smoking thin man, but they went ahead anyway, and they defied him. And you want to hear something interesting? Dozens of Democrats joined majority Republicans in defiance of the smoking thin man's veto threat. The measure to increase screening for Syrian and Iraqi refugees, which makes common sense, passed on a 289 to 137 vote, representing a veto-proof majority. It now goes to the Senate. Now, of course, that's another story. 47 Democrats, in a significant rebuke of the smoking thin man, defected to support the bill, ignoring the smoking thin man's appeals to oppose it. Ahead of the vote, the White House had lobbied strongly against the bill, sending Chief of Staff Dennis McDonough and Homeland Security Secretary Jed Johnson to the Capitol in an attempt to jawbone Democratic lawmakers from joining Republicans. But they did anyway. Among them, Representative Sean Maloney, Democrat in New York, said Thursday that people are understandably frightened and the administration should bring a better argument on such a toxic issue. That's shocking. Now, what does the bill actually do? It would require the FBI director to certify a background investigation for each refugee and several top security officials, including the DHS secretary, to certify that each refugee is not a security threat to the U.S., before a refugee from Iraq or Syria can be admitted. Now, on the eve of this vote, the White House, in the form of the angry, hostile, anti-American, smoking thin man, issued a formal veto threat, saying that the current screening process was excellent. Nothing needs to be done. Of course, we all know the country's security is at stake. We all know this is a compassionate nation. But we also must remember that our first priority is to protect ourselves. That's their job, by the way. Now, Republicans brought the bill to the House floor less than a week after the bombings and shootings killed 129 people in Paris, wounding almost 500. The worst attack on France's soil since World War II, done by Muslims in the Islamic State. So that's the story right there. 855-400-7282. That's good news. Actually, that's very good news. It goes to the Senate now because in the House of Representatives, they have a veto-proof majority because enough Republicans realized they're not getting reelected if they stand with the smoking thin man. If they continue to stand with the smokingly hateful thin man who is likely deranged, they're going to be thrown out of office because the American people know what needs to be done to protect them, at least increasing the risks. Rather, decreasing the risks of getting hit by one of them. It's that simple. Okay, my friends. WABC, Vinny, we have a minute. Fire away.
Hi, Michael. So I work in a northern New Jersey government, and I was arguing with my liberal friends about the Syrian refugees, the minimum wage, all these protesters at college. Usually I'm called the Fox News lover, but the lady threw me at you, and she goes, "You must listen to that Michael Savage."
That means she must listen to that Michael Savage.
Exactly, but I just never thought that you would be thrown in.
What I have a Thanksgiving gift for her. Can I give it to you to give to your coworker since she's a new listener? Let's send her a copy to you of Government Zero and give it to her, courtesy of Michael Savage for Thanksgiving.
I wish we could sign it to Kelly. Love Michael Savage.
No, I'm not going to sign. I can't sign books. They come out of my warehouse. I sign no books. Okay, Vinny, gift going out to your coworker. Good to see that one of them is listening to me. That's how it starts, by the way. The liberals say, "I hate that guy. Did you ever listen to him?" No. Then they listen to me, and they start with a little bit. They can only take a minute at a time. Then it's 2 minutes, then five, then a segment. And then they say, "You know, I listened to you for months and hated everything you said, and then eventually a bell went off in my head, and I realized that you're right." I've heard this for 21 years. This is how the show has grown. This is how the affiliate list has grown of stations that take this program. Because if you want to just hear yourself think, don't listen to anyone you disagree with. If you want to actually think, listen to someone you disagree with. And then run your ideas by yourself again. And you'll come to the conclusion that I'm right.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, there is breaking news, which I gave you in the last segment, which is big news. Despite the fact that the smoking thin man in the White House last night threatened Congress once again with a veto, the House of Representatives overwhelmingly just approved legislation toughening the screening of Syrian Iraqi refugees. And a large number of Democrats who realized they'd be thrown out of office joined their Republican cohorts to pass this common sense legislation. Incidentally, it's a veto-proof number in the House. We'll see what the Quislings do in the Whig party, in the Whig side of the aisle. They're so busy with their wigs on, seeing how much money they can make off the war, I guess, that this is of no interest to them whatsoever. You know, the shopping carts could be sent to Syria. God only knows what could be done in between everything else. Think of the money that could be made. If you think no one's going to make money off this crisis, you're mistaken. Look at Catholic Charities. Look at Lutheran Family Services. Look at Baptist Family Services. They've never had it so good. WABC, Fred, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation. Make your point, please.
Dr. Savage, it's a pleasure speaking with you. I just want to let you know, I was born in Iran in 1966 as a Christian. I'm a Syrian by heritage. And we came to the United States in 79 during the revolution. And with all this is going on, this is basically what I'm saying now. It's a repeat of what went on in Iran, but it's happening in a different way. As a Christian, I don't understand why is it that they're not letting any Syrian Christians into the United States, but they are letting Syrian Muslims in. And yet,
well, that's because the thin smoking man in the White House has a bias. It's a bias against Christians, a bias in favor of Muslims. Any other questions?
Being slaughtered.
He said there shouldn't be... The thin smoking man in the White House said there should not be a religious litmus test. So he'd rather take in Muslims and no Christians. That's, see, it's nice to be king. You can say stupid things. You can say racist things like that. You can say crazy things and get away with it. Because then you'll have people like Jake Tapwater repeating it. But the truth is the truth, even if no one believes it. And a lie is a lie, even if everyone believes it. The smoking thin man in the White House, has always favored Islam and Muslims. You know that from the day and from the get-go. On ABC News, he referenced my Muslim faith. It was Obama who gave $100 million in U.S. taxpayer funds to rebuild foreign mosques. It was Obama who assured the Egyptian foreign minister, quote, that I am a Muslim. It was Obama who bowed in submission before the Saudi king. By the way, there's an amazing panel of cartoons on the difference between Putin and Obama that came from the Federalist Papers that I put up on my website, michaelsavage.com. I'll post on Facebook. You've got to see these cartoons. I've got to find it for you. Because, you know, they say one picture is worth 1,000 words. I don't know if I... Here it is. Putin versus Obama, brilliantly compared in 10 brutal pictures. The Federalist Papers Project. And they're not cartoons. They're pictures, photographs. Putin looks China's president in the eye, and they show Putin standing eye to eye with China's president. On the right side, Obama bows like a weak dog to China's president. Putin looks the Saudi king in the eye, stares at him. Obama bends, and you see his behind. Next one, Putin looks Japan's emperor in the eye, standing straight. Obama bows forward to the Japanese prime minister, and the Japanese prime minister looks at him like a moron. And the cartoon bubble says, what's wrong with this idiot? Nobody's supposed to bow to me. I'm just a prime minister. I mean, what is he doing? The next one shows Putin on a judo mat. Says Putin is one of the boys. The next one shows Obama on The View with Whoopi Goldberg and the girls. Next one shows Putin controls his dog without a leash. His dog is walking beside him with Tony Blair. Dog is off leash, listening to him. The next one shows Obama being pulled by his dog, Bo, running behind him. And it says Obama's dog walks him, and there's a cartoon bubble over the dog's head which says, I can't believe this psycho egomaniac, name me after his initials, B.O. It shows Putin throwing a man to a mat. Putin, black belt in judo. And then it shows Obama wincing like a girl at the sight of a judo match. Next one shows Putin riding horses. And the one on the right shows Obama riding girly bicycle with helmet. Okay, that's what they did. I mean, I don't know whether you agree with it or not. It's a picture. Then it shows Putin married the soft-spoken beauty. Obama, well, okay, we won't go into that. Putin, eye of the tiger. Obama, feminine look and smile. When the two of them meet face-to-face, well, you get the picture. He's a laughingstock on the world stage. The only people who still believe in him are Chris Matthews, who gets a chill up his spine and his leg when he sees him. Trump defends Carson rant on Savage Nation. Obama says Syrian refugees no bigger threat to the U.S. than tourists. You know, I opened my show Monday with The Dance of Death in the West, which is the opening page to my great bestseller, Government Zero. Unbelievable to me. Unbelievable to me how horribly true it was. And you know, many Muslims were killed in Paris. I don't know if you know that. A Jewish Paris cafe owner lost his wife, who was, I think, Tunisian, a Muslim Tunisian, a beautiful woman. These people are mad dogs. They're insane. They're out to kill everyone on the planet. Take a look at the Paris suicide bomber, the woman who killed Diesel, a police dog. Take a look at this stone-faced monster. Now compare her face with the beautiful, beautiful Muslim wife of the Jewish cafe owner in Paris. You say, well, what do you make of that? I don't know. What do you make of that? What do you make of that? You figure out what to make of it. That's all. You figure out what to make about it. That's all. So we have something good to report, which I reported already. The House just voted to crack down on the refugees with a much tighter screening program, much to the chagrin of those in the administration who think that, well, there's no problem and they're just tourists coming in from Syria. Apparently, Congress, even Democrats, say, wait a minute, there's a problem here. You know, Anthony on WABC, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael Savage, how are you? Well, I come from a family of of immigrants, and I'm the first American son. And what you were saying, and what you've been saying for the last month and a half, you know, I mean, it has actually dawned upon me on Tuesday when I was watching the House of Representatives. All that was missing was you on it. You're very inspiring, and also
well, I'm the son of an immigrant as well. Do you know that?
Yeah, my boss tells me that because we listen to you every day.
Yeah, my father was an immigrant to America. He was not born here. My grandfather came here ahead of the family. He had to wait 7 years, save enough money to send for my grandmother, a blessed memory, and my father, and my uncle, and my aunt. Then they came over. So my father was not born here. He was an immigrant. I have 1 foot in the immigrant world and 1 foot in the American world like you. So we see the world in a similar way, Anthony.
Yeah. Everything that you've been saying, it's actually dawning out. We kind of need you to become part of the House of Representatives, man.
I am the House. I'm part of the House of Representatives right here on the radio. I have more influence than any member of the House of Representatives, by the way. The only difference is you can be sure I'm not robbing anything on the side to tell you what I believe. The only thing you can be sure of with me and everyone else in radio is that we're not taking anything on the side before we give you an opinion. Because there's nothing in it for us. It's as simple as we give you the truth the way we see it, and we're not looking to get anything from it. You see what I'm saying? With the congressmen, how many do we know? We know what they're really saying, what they're doing it for? Are they getting money for it or what? We don't know. I'm sending you a Thanksgiving present, Anthony. Government Zero goes out to you. Do you want to stay on this topic? It's wearing me out. I got to tell you the truth. You know, I almost didn't go on the air today. I'm so exhausted from this murder and mayhem where I'm looking, you know, it's like an oncologist, a cancer doctor. I would suspect that a cancer doctor after a while can't do oncology after a while, because when you look at cancer cells, or you look at the disease, the different kinds of cancers, obviously, and you study them 20, 18 hours a day, you're looking at a microscope, or you're looking at x-rays, or you're looking at blood work, and all you see is the spread of the cancer. What do you think that does to the oncologist? So I woke up at 5:30 in the morning and I said, you know, I got to take a day off. And then I started to think about what I would do on the day off instead of coming on the radio. So I said, you know what I think I'll do is I'll go down to Monterey. It's such a gorgeous weather up here in the Bay Area of San Francisco, Northern California. I haven't been to Monterey in years and years. So then I walked through at 5:30 in the morning, the actual thought of it, the drive, the getting out of the car, the walking around with tourists aimlessly, looking at the seagulls, having a meal, drinking a couple of drinks that I didn't want, getting back in the car. Before I finished the thought, I said, no, I'm not going to go to Monterey. So, okay, we won't go to Monterey. So, okay, what am I going to do myself? Okay, I know, it's such a beautiful day. I'll just hang around in San Francisco. I'll start by going to the Young Museum and I'll look at some classical European paintings because they remind me that civilization will go on despite these throwback vermin subhumans. Civilization will beat them. We'll crush them, we'll destroy them, because they've done something so bad here that even the world of liberalism has been shocked to its core. The cafe drinkers. And I'd go look at some Cezannes, I'd look at some Paris cafe scenes, but I walked through the museum in my mind and I realized I'd been there so many times I didn't want to go there. At that point I got up, let the dog out, and decided I'd go on the radio, and here I am. And the phone number is 855-400-7282. I would like to do some health things. Don't call in with health questions, though. I'm not going to answer health questions for two reasons. I'm not a medical doctor, and any medical doctor who would answer a health question on the radio is a quack. How can they diagnose, how can they treat you if they didn't diagnose you yet? They're taking your word for it? I give you a general idea about things, that's all. Things that I know in general, that's all I can do. Otherwise, see your doctor. Most of them don't know what they're doing, but see them anyway. That's the mantra. See your doctor to make sure that you don't know what's going on for sure, so it can give you Prozac or an antibiotic. No, that's not true. I have doctors I respect greatly. It's just that I don't listen to any of their advice. That's, I respect them greatly, but I don't listen to anything they tell me to do. I usually throw the pills out that they prescribe. And I go back to my own methodology. All right, what would you like to talk about? This horrible thing? Did you see what went on in France? Are you ready for this? After Hollandaise sauce, who ISIS called the imbecile of Europe, cracked down on ISIS with French jets bombing I think they're bombing something. We don't know what they're actually doing. All we see is the smoke coming out of the back of their jets, and we assume that they're blowing things up, but we don't really know. They could be just pounding sand in the desert for all we know. He just announced last night he's bringing in 30,000 Syrian refugees anyway. How's that for intelligence? Well, that's my cue to take a quick break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO.
ISIS is demonstrating new ambition. We have to break the group's momentum, and then it's back. Our goal is not to deter or contain ISIS, but to defeat and destroy ISIS.
All right, so she's trying to demonstrate she's tougher than the thin smoking man in the White House. Does she mean it? Who knows? Who knows what she means? We know that there's only one person who'll do it, Trump, period, end of story. It's simple. He'll unleash the force of hell on them. They won't know what hit them. And I want to talk about that at some point. I don't have the time right now. I may do it in the next hour. I've been thinking about this. It's going to take total war to defeat them. Make no mistake about it. A strike here and a strike there is going to do nothing. Now, I want to remind you of something that many of you are not aware of, and it's a horrible reality, but you know you can't argue with reality. World War II, end of World War II. The Japanese had lost their Air Force. They had lost their Navy after some horrible battles. We almost lost the war. And there was the issue of taking the homeland because they wouldn't surrender. The people wanted to surrender, but the militaristic wing of the Japanese people, which was the military, would not surrender because it was not in their culture to surrender. Bushido required they never surrender to an enemy. They'd rather commit suicide. And so they vowed to fight to the death. And the atrocities of the Japanese army throughout the war equaled that or exceeded that of ISIS. You don't understand that. This is not the first time the world has seen this type of barbarism. You can compare it, as I did, and I was the first in the media to do it because I know a little bit about history, to the Mongol invasions, where they killed everyone in town. If they took a city, the Mongols killed everyone except the women that they wanted to enslave and rape. Did you know that? They burnt everything to the ground. They blew up everything. They decimated the whole city. So what ISIS is doing is no different than what the Mongols did. And for that matter, the Japanese did the same thing in many ways. Take a look, for example, at the rape of Nanking. If you know the history of the rape of Nanking, it was an atrocity equal to that of the Mongols. But what I'm getting at is, look at the beheadings of the Japanese military. Look how they beheaded American, Australian, British soldiers they captured. They starved people to death, humiliated them, cut their heads off. So what am I getting at? There was only one way to defeat such a barbaric enemy. And we had a war leader at the time, Harry Truman. I don't know if you know this little part of history, but his name, Truman, scared the Japanese. When FDR died, the vice president, Truman, took over. And history teaches us that the Japanese leadership was very worried because they said, now we're going to have a real problem because Truman is now in office. Well, the Truman made a decision. He didn't want to kill innocent Japanese men, women, and children, but he knew that in order to break them, he had to break them. And so he used an experimental weapon on Hiroshima and then on Nagasaki, killing mostly innocent men, women, and children. That's even though Hiroshima was largely a manufacturing city for the war machine, but that's a separate story. It was not done so much to take out their war manufacturing capacity. It was done to, frankly, out-terrorize the enemy. I'm sorry to tell you that. In other words, he fought terror with terror. And he also had made that calculation because he knew by what had happened in Okinawa that if he tried to take the Japanese homeland with American troops, we would have lost between 500,000 and 1 million American men. And what he said was, better them than us. My father-in-law wouldn't have survived the war. He just almost died in the Mediterranean. He's a naval officer. And then they were ready to ship him to Japan. He wouldn't have survived that one. What happened to him in the Mediterranean was enough to last a lifetime of scarring.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, here he is. Here he is, Michael Savage. I guess we'll go with hour two with the Boston Marathon bombing, Muslim Sano brothers, Nidal Hassan, Muslim psychiatrist at Fort Hood, and about 100 other issues like this. And yet Hillary says it's not Muslims, we shouldn't worry about it. Well, the fact of the matter is, the House of Representatives, the United States House of Representatives, just voted to increase scrutiny of refugees wanting to come in from Syria and Iraq, a common sense measure. And so many Democrats joined Republicans on this vote to increase scrutiny on refugee screening process that it is a veto-proof measure, making Obama furious because he threatened to veto this. It passed 289 to 137 just an hour ago. Only two Republicans voted against the bill, while 47 Democrats joined majority in voting to pass the legislation. Now, I'm sure you want to know which Republicans voted against the bill, and we'll get that to you on the Savage Nation. But the fact of the matter is, it made such common sense that Democrats joined them. Of course, not to be outdone by stupidity is Representative Nancy Cuckoo Clark Pelosi, saying this bill does not make us safer, it does not reflect our values. Look who's talking about values. Here's a woman who went to the sex parade, the gay sex parade, with whips and chains and leather, and says that's San Francisco's values. She says, this bill does not make us safer, it does not reflect our values, and it does not have my support. She prefers a bill put forward by Representative Strange Zoe Lofgren. Unbelievable idiot. What a bill she came up with. Now let's see what Paul Ryan said, the new speaker. He said, this plan pauses the program. It's a security test, not a religious test. Ryan's remarks came before the passage of McCall's bill, stressing, quote, we cannot and should not wait to act, not when our national security is at stake. He said, this is the first step to protect Americans and to defeat ISIS. He's right. So the House did something good, defying Obama. And we'll have to see what happens when it gets to the Senate, because that's a whole different world over there. The Whigs are a whole different thing. Donald Trump was on the Savage Nation yesterday with people saying the best interview he's done ever. He said, people said to me that you and Trump have a special rapport that nobody else in the media seems to have. You kind of talk the same language. You talk the same lingo. It sounds like you come from the same place. Well, he came from the good side of the tracks, and I came from the poor side of the tracks. In Queens, New York, he was on the other side of Union Turnpike than I was. I was in the attached red brick row houses, and he came from a family of means, and they lived in a beautiful detached home up near Cunningham Park. I always aspired to live there. Of course, I don't aspire to live there anymore, but I'm just saying to you, we grew up breathing the same air. He went to private schools. I think he went to the New York Military Academy. I never went there, but I had a friend who did go there. He was such a troublemaker that his father had to send him there. And he met a lot of South American guys, kids from rich families, Venezuela, Argentina. They were the most fun-loving guys I ever knew in my life. Those South Americans at 15, they looked like men of 30 with mustaches. It was something to hang out with them, I got to tell you. Going through Manhattan with them was a lot of fun. And we're trying to still go on with our lives, and we're trying to protect ourselves. But we know that lunatics like Hillary Clinton, who put out the same mantra that they've been putting out since the beginning of time, are not going to protect us. It's only guys like Trump who I think could do the right thing, to be very, very frank with you. And we agree with each other on so many things. WJR, Carol, go ahead, please. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Trump. Glad to hear Donald Trump on your program yesterday explaining why he made those insulting remarks about Dr. Carson, which immediately lowered my opinion of Mr. Trump. I was having such confidence in his ability.
We know what you're feeling, but that's not the point to hear what you're feeling. What did you think about Trump talking about why he said it?
Well, I'll tell you, I still think it was, he could have had a better choice of words. When he got that analogy about child molesting and that was...
Ma'am, you're bringing back up the old history. That's not what I'm trying to talk about here. Trump explained why he attacked Carson. Isn't that why you called?
Yes, he did. He did because it's competition. It's just a matter of competition, and they do this in all the...
He said, Michael, you're very competitive. He said, if you were where I was competing with them, you would have been just as attack of Carson, maybe even worse. Actually said you would have been worse. Didn't he say that? Didn't Trump say that to me?
Yes, but I don't think you would have used that choice of words. I don't think you would have used that analogy.
Well, let me think about it. If I were Trump, and let's say I was ahead in the polls, and Carson had been creeping up on me with his nice guy approach, I don't know that I would have used that analogy, but people do make mistakes. They go in the wrong direction. But he certainly had decimated Carson to the point that Carson is no longer a factor.
Yeah, well, Carson is good, and I love Carson, but I don't. It's a matter of changing. He's a great surgeon, but I don't know if you can transfer that to what Steve.
That's what I'm trying to say. That's how I feel. I mean, I think Carson would make a good head of the Department of, you know, HHS, Health and Human Services, and I think that when Donald Trump appoints me to head up the NIH, or something like that, I will appoint Dr. Carson to run HHS if I get that chance. That's a funny story unto itself. Do you realize what would happen if Trump actually follows up on my suggestion that when he wins, I take an appointment to run the NIH? Do you know what would happen in that? Do you have any idea what would happen in the world of science and medicine? I've thought about it. They would go insane. They would viciously attack me, saying I don't have the credentials. Yeah, you're not really a scientist. Blah, blah, blah. You're not one of us. You don't know how the grants process works. They are absolutely right. I don't know how the grants process works, because there is no grants process. It's all patronage. It's one of the most corrupt systems, which is why we have very little science and why medicine has been stagnated in the United States of America. It is as corrupt as the U.S. government. What I would do is I would clean up the world of science and medicine, medical research, in a way that would give benefit to humanity, not just to Americans. Now, I know what'll happen. What will happen is that some of the top scientists of the NIH would say, if Donald Trump goes ahead and appoints Michael Savage to head up the NIH, we're resigning. Guess what Michael Savage would say? Go ahead and resign. See if I care. I'll bring in scientists from India. I'll bring in scientists from Taiwan. I'll bring in scientists from Russia to replace you. Those who are not tied into the system and who are not corrupt. Those who don't know how the grant process works. Those who simply look at science and medicine as science and medicine rather than as a patronage system. So go take a job in private industry, my friend. Enjoy yourself. That's what I would do. I don't know if this is a fantasy, but I've actually thought about it. Remember, this election is going to come up next year. 1 year. We're going to the polls in November. By this time next year, by this time Thanksgiving next year, we'll know who the president's going to be from 2017 on. And if Trump wins, I'm going to ask him for a patronage job, I think. Because I would give up a lucrative career in the media and as an author. I would do it for a dollar a year, by the way. You know that was done in years past? Do you know that? Do you know that loyal patriots gave up careers in the industry to in the war effort? They worked for a dollar a year because they believed in America? I would do the same thing. Because I believe in the truth, and I believe in science, and I believe in real medical research. And what I see going on in this country is appalling. It has stagnated. Science and medicine has stagnated. Research have stagnated because of the corruption. It's as corrupt as the government itself. You ask any young scientist what's involved in getting a grant. You ask them if there's selections based upon, let us say, pure science, or on, let's say, sexual gender, put it that way, race. You know what kind of grants they're giving out? Virtually every study has, in the NSF, the National Science Foundation, every one of those grants that are now being written, proposals, have to say something about global warming in order to be reviewed by the corrupt science boards that review these things. So listen to me. There's a lot of cleaning up to be done in this country, and I know that most of you listening don't even know what the NSF or NIH mean. But I do. That's the only area I'd be interested in working in the government. That's the only place I could have an impact and clean things up. And I might do it for a dollar a year. Give all of the money to charity. the government salary, and then keep the pension, too. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Welcome back to the Savage Nation with my mellifluous voice. And I want to talk now about the barbarism of ISIS and where it fits in history. And the comparison is best made to the Mongols, which I made about a month ago, because the Mongols did almost exactly what ISIS is doing right now. And who are the Mongols? Well, they came out of the north of China, and they were so vicious, they achieved a series of conquests that still has no parallel in human history. And these were the Mongols. And they appeared in the 13th century. They were a horde of nomadic horsemen. And they lived very much as their predecessors did, the Huns, subsisting chiefly on meat and mare's milk. And they lived in tents of felt. They had broken free from Chinese dominion. And they brought a number of other Turkish tribes into a military confederacy. Their central camp was on the Onon River in Siberia. And what happened next is that of conquest and horror. And who was their leader? Genghis Khan, you've heard of him. He was the leader of the Mongol Confederates. And he made war on the Chinese Qin Empire. And he captured Peking in 1214. He then turned westward and conquered western Turkestan, Persia, Armenia, and India, down to Lahore, and South Russia as far as Hungary and Silesia. Did you know that? Genghis Khan was such an effective monster that he conquered this vast territory, which resulted in a vast empire that reached from the Pacific to the Dnieper River. Now, let me pause right there. He was then succeeded by Ogdai Khan, and I don't want to go into all the details because you're going to say I'm getting a little off the track here, but the point is about what they did. When the Mongols were victorious, they killed everyone. When they got into Hungary, for example, they massacred or assimilated the kindred Magyar, even as these people themselves, the Magyar, had previously massacred and assimilated the mixed Scythians and Avars and Huns before them. So the history of the Huns, the history of the Mongols was the same. When they conquered, they destroyed everybody. They killed everybody, except the women that they wanted to use as sex slaves. Very similar to what you see going on with ISIS right now. Something else you need to know about the Mongols, which is that they had a bitter animosity towards Islam. Did you know that? The Mongols captured the city of Baghdad, and they massacred everyone in Baghdad. They killed everyone in Baghdad. Everyone was killed, men, women, and children. Not only did they kill everyone in Baghdad, but they destroyed the immemorial irrigation system which had kept Mesopotamia incessantly prosperous and populous from the early days of Samaria. Baghdad at that time had one of the most advanced irrigation systems the world had ever seen, and the Mongols destroyed it. From that time on until our own, very recently, Mesopotamia was a desert. And, well, the rest is history. Now, what happened after the Mongols conquered, in addition to destroying and killing everyone? Well, did you know that the Eastern Mongols became Buddhists, like the Chinese? Did you know the Western Mongols became Muslim? That's how the Muslims arrived in China. And I want to pause right there, because the point is that the world has seen this type of barbaric behavior before. Most notably, as I pointed out, by the Huns. Okay? And as I said, in World War II, the barbarity of the Japanese in the treatment of the Chinese in particular equaled or exceeded that of the barbarism of the Mongols. And so now we're facing a new barbarian, very much like them. They want to kill everyone in sight, convert everyone to their religion, if you want to call it a religion. And I understand that it's not classical Islam that we're talking about. I mean, I'm an educated man. You can easily say all Muslims are terrorists. You'd be wrong. But the fact of the matter is, Their vision is that of a 7th century purist vision, which is absurd, outrageously absurd, because raping 8-year-old girls is not my idea of purism. Nevertheless, people are afraid that they will conquer the world. See, many people fear that ISIS can conquer the world through a series of small attacks like this, which have been going on forever. What happened in Paris will happen in America because of the weaklings we have running everything, because of the liars in the intelligence services. Even the brave men and women in the intelligence services have been hamstrung, and the right word is emasculated, even if they're women, by Obama's left-wing insanities. I mean, they know what might happen. Instead of preemptively arresting those terrorists and taking them in before they kill us, the maniacs in the Obama administration stick to their college girl view, which is that it wouldn't be our values, it wouldn't be this, it wouldn't be that. So it's inevitable that they're going to hit again in this country a few times before the people finally rise up and stop it themselves by electing someone like Donald Trump, who's a strong man, who finally does what needs to be done to stop them. Okay? Now, there's another reason that you don't need to fear that they're going to take over the world, because they're not going to. There's a huge difference that came to me in my sleep last night about the small Arab armies of 1,000 or less who took over 50% of the world in their 100 years. In only 100 years, these small bands of armies, very much like these ISIS terrorists, took over huge parts of the globe through the very same methods. Terror, raping, kidnapping, burning, destroying cities. There's a difference. And the difference is the very thing that ISIS is using to communicate with each other, to conduct these atrocities, is what will be their downfall. Because everyone now can see in an instant the vicious insanity of these throwbacks. In other words, they could have done it in the past and people would have heard about it, but they wouldn't have known about it, and they wouldn't have been prepared for them, nor would they have been ready to fight them. But now the very same internet that they use to advance themselves and their perverse view of Islam will be used against them to destroy them. When you see that Democrats have voted with Republicans today to crack down on a simple common sense measure to increase the scrutiny of refugees coming from Iraq and Syria, you can see that today even these dodos, the Democrats, understand that they'll be thrown out of office because the people themselves know what must be done. You get it? I hope you get it. It's all in Government Zero.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
And I got a little more news for you on the Savage Nation. If you watch what Russia is going to do when they get into Syria, you'll find out that ISIS is quickly going to be destroyed. You're not going to see it, though, because they're not going to have newsmen running around with cameras. Wolf Blitzer won't be there. Jake Tapwater won't be there. Anderson Cooper won't be there. They won't let him in. No cameras, no helmet cams, no rules of engagement. They're going to kill every one of them. They're not taking prisoners. You know nothing about the Russian military. You have no idea who they are. Now, we have men just as tough in our military, make no mistake about it. They've just been hamstrung, to use a classy term, by the girls who are running the military. But Russians are not going to be hamstrung by Putin. There's going to be no video of it. They're going to kill every last one of them. They're not going to take prisoners. The thing you should know about a lot of the Russians is many of them are descended from Huns and from Mongols, by the way. So they know a little bit about monstrous behavior, if need be. I mean, why are there so many great fighters coming out of the Ukraine? I asked someone about that the other day. How did this happen? Where did all these great fighters from Ukraine occur? How? I don't know. Where does fighting spirit come from? And what's their ancestry? It's an interesting question for another time. I think I'll take some calls, okay? Myrna on WABC, thanks. What are you calling about? What's on your mind?
You being president, I've wanted that all along. I mean,
Hold it. I'm not running for the presidency.
If you're not going to run for president, because I don't want you to lose your program, so don't want you to run. I want it just the way you said it. I think that's perfect.
Ma'am, I don't know. Please, wait. Let's start. Let's rewind the tape. I never said I'm running for the presidency.
As long as President Trump, as I expect that to be, because I want to work on his campaign.
All right. Thank you for the call. It's like, okay, thank you. I know you love me, but why is she even on the radio? Okay, WABC Cheryl will try for the next caller. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. I just want to tell you that before I started listening to you, I was as liberal could be. Unbelievably so. I went to Cuba 11 times through Canada.
Oh, you were one of those red diaper dopa baby girls who went to cut sugar with the compasera with your friends down in Cuba.
You're right. But when I started listening to you, I did a 360. I am now more
if
right.
You did a three, if you did a 360, that means you're still a liberal.
No. I'm about as conservative as you can get right now.
I'm just kidding. I get it. What converted you from the stupidity of your past?
You.
But why me? I'm just one man on the radio. How did I convert? What do you remember that I said that made you see the light? Really, honestly, was it one thing? Was it many things? Is it every day? What is it?
It was a lot of things, but mostly it was the talking about Obama. I became so ashamed. I voted for him twice. I thought he was an
ass. Okay, many, many liberal women did. They were hoodwinked into thinking that because he wasn't a white man, he was good. Did anyone but a white man? I know how the thinking went. Believe me, I know where it comes from, the liberal guilt and the racism. I get it. He capitalized on all of it. But if you look at what the man has done, I don't have to repeat the litany of it. We have President Zero, don't we, Cheryl?
Horrible, this thing with Iran. I mean, it makes me sick to think about any of it.
I'm sending you Government Zero so you can read it for Thanksgiving. That's all. Chapter and verse.
What?
That's your new book. It's that simple. Thank you. Now, you stay on the line, and Robert will get your name and address, and we'll send it to you in a plain brown wrapper so that your neighbors aren't offended by you on the Upper West Side. Tom, WMAL in Washington, D.C. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I think that you would be an excellent choice to be head of NIH. And the reason I say that is I've gone through 4 clinical trials there. I've seen a lot of waste. I had hepatitis C, which I got from a blood transfusion years ago and from a car accident back in 1985. Also, my wife has an MD, and she has 2 master's degrees, one in public health and the other one in health sciences. And her forte was epidemiology. Her paper, she wrote on tuberculosis. But nevertheless, she agrees with me that you would be a good candidate.
See, I'd be a non-bureaucrat coming in to run a huge bureaucracy that's grown like a Frankenstein. The NIH was never set up to be a world unto itself. That's the National Institutes of Health. But today, it is so beholden to special interests, including drug companies, that very little pure science is done and very little honest science is done. And that's why I'm not kidding when I say to you, if Trump becomes president, I will offer my services to run the NIH. I will repeat this a few times between now and next November because I am an outsider and yet I have the ability to manage things well enough to know what needs to be done. And I also know how to hire the best scientists in the country who are not beholden to special interests. That's why we'll have better science and better medical research in this country. And believe me, I'll do it for half the cost than they're spending right now. There'll be no trips to Thailand to study the effects of growth hormone on a horse's private parts. No one will get a grant to do a thing like that or to see if alcohol affects gay behavior in Thailand. If I ever read the kind of grants that are being given out, your hair would stand up. But I'm sure since you know from the inside the kind of garbage that they're funding, you'd probably agree with me.
Most definitely. And a lot of the doctors that are there, they're like on these 2-year stays from other countries, and they have attitudes, and they just pretty much are get over. They're get overs, the majority of them. I mean, there are some decent people there, but very few. I mean, you know, like I was in like the liver, outpatient liver, for my situation, for these clinical trials that I was on, and maybe like 2 people out of maybe of the 12 on the staff there were probably the ones that were doing the real work, and the rest were just get-overs.
Let me say this to you. I'm not going to give a total plan for this now because it's far too soon. We've got to see what happens down the line. We've got to see where I'm at, you know, 6-9 months from now. We've got to see what Donald Trump really thinks. I don't know that he would appoint me. I would certainly lobby for it because I'd leave radio for that. I'd leave writing books for that. I would do it as a public service to the United States of America. I think it would be a great capstone to my career and my life. I began as a a young student who wanted to, you know, do things that made sense in science. And the thing is to hire the best scientists in the world who are not beholden to special interests. And also you need great managers. In order to run a vast bureaucracy like the NIH or the National Science Foundation, you need to hire great managers, not great con men. And then you've got to say no grants will ever be given from either of these great institutions ever again based on race or sex or country of origin. They are going to be based solely on the scientific merit of the proposal. Nobody will get a grant because they're of a certain race or sex. Nobody will get a grant because they're from a country of a certain origin. Period, end of story. That's how I clean up the corruption in science. You know, I have a whole chapter. I have to tell you, it's a passion of mine, and it's only for people who really know anything about this. In Government Zero, I have a whole chapter on zero science, and I talk about Lysenkoism then and now, and how they purge scientists who dissent in Russia, and how Obama has purged scientists who dissent in America today. And then I talk about how real science works. I talk about global warming and global cooling and how they're natural. And then I talk about inconvenient research, the Vostok ice core samples. I ask, where's the warming? And I talk about junk journalism for junk science. All in Chapter 9, I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero, the most important book of our generation. Stay on the line. 855-407-282. Steve has a great answer to my question of where the Ukrainian fighting spirit came from. Steve, welcome from KVOR in Colorado. Where did it come from, the Ukrainian fighters?
They came down the rivers. All those rivers in Russia in the northern part flow north. And the Vikings came down, when they were going to Greenland. And they came up those rivers and ended up colonizing up there and then being absorbed. And so you heard of the berserkers, those crazy people that would carry big hammers and go into battle with, you know, berserk. And so
I thought that they were all across the bay from me in Berserkly. I didn't know that some of them were still over there.
That's where they are. And but anyway, they came up those rivers and ended up being isolated and melting into the population. And so
does that explain where why are these Ukrainians such amazing warrior? I mean, in the ring now, I kept asking, where did they come from? Or, you know, I see some of the Russian fighters who are absolutely not of any Viking descent. Some of them have the Mongol look. Have you seen some of them? Or the Tatar look on their face? Have you seen those?
Yes.
Same thing. These are naturally powerful, strong fighters who derive from a history of warriors. But it's a big change in the fighting world. There's no question about that. Steve, a copy of Government Zero goes out to you for Thanksgiving.
Hey, I'll give it to my neighbor.
Okay. Bernie, WABC, go ahead. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Yes, Steve.
All right, whatever your name is, line 7, go ahead, please.
Michael Savage, I just wanted to say to you that the ineffectiveness of this government is because our leadership is dumbing the population. I think a man like Trump is a productive, effective leader. This is my first time calling. I'm a little nervous. But I think that the guy has driven management skills, productive and effective forms of leadership that people have to get behind. The question is, how do you motivate the youth? They usually...
Well, hold on. Let me ask you. I'm going to ask you something. This is an interesting poll came out from Quinnipiac, whoever they are, if you want to rely on them. Do you know that the millennials, the younger voters, want anyone except Hillary Clinton? Did you know that she's extremely... She's despised by the younger voters. Did you know that, Bernie?
I understood that.
They don't like her. They look right through her. They don't want an old lady who they know has a shady past running America, not after Obama. And every poll is showing that, no matter what the news media may say, no matter what Jake Tapwater may say, no matter how they try to, you know, pin a new outfit on her, they don't like her.
Distrust is obvious. The question is, how do you
I may be the distrust, but it's something more than distrust about Hillary. She's not a likable person. She's mean-spirited. And most young people who have grown up as extremely liberated people do not want a nasty old woman telling them what to do. She looks just like a nasty old grandmother. They don't want her in the U.S. They don't want her in the White House telling them what to do in plain English. They don't like her looks. And that's why they're probably, I think that that's why they'll go for Donald Trump. Even though he's an older guy, he has a savoir-faire about him. I don't know if you heard the interview with him yesterday, but there was a certain distance in the conversation between him and I, a distance from him, in him, that projected a sort of humor. There was a certain humor in Donald Trump. He's maintained a sense of humor behind it all.
Secure.
All right, Bernie, stay on the line. I'm sending you a Thanksgiving gift, and it's not Government Zero. We're sending you a box of stuffing that is instant stuffing. You just add hot air, hot water, and send it to the White House. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Can you imagine the people that Donald Trump might appoint to various departments? Look, I know my limitations. Someone says, oh, you're so smart. Well, I know what I know. I know what I don't know. But the thing is I also know how to listen to reality, and I know who's giving me the BS job. If I've had to do it to survive where I am, I can tell truth from fiction. So you look at a Department of Defense. Who would you appoint as defense secretary? If you were advising Donald Trump and he becomes president, who do you think he would pick? He once said he would put somebody like General MacArthur in there. And believe me, we have individuals in the military who are capable of running the Defense Department a lot better than the individuals that Obama has chosen, who've done nothing but basically spend their whole time trying to cut the budget of actual combat troops and integrate transsexuals. And definitely make sure the transsexuals are comfortable on submarines. That's their whole goal. Make sure we can have a transsexual on a submarine. That's their whole motivation every night. They get up in the middle of the night not worrying about ISIS, but whether or not Caitlyn Jenner would be comfortable on a nuclear submarine. So that's something you'd think about. So who would he appoint? Well, for a Department of Defense, he picked probably some great general with combat experience, probably one of those who have been purged by Obama. But, you know, just being a great war, a man who's been great in war doesn't make you a good manager. You're talking about a budget. You need a business person, primarily. And that's why most defense secretaries have come from the world of business. And I don't mean bureaucrats who've run businesses. I mean businessmen who've run businesses. They're the ones who can cut the fat out of defense. It's the same way I could cut the fat out of HHS. I've been talking about that, saying, like, if I ran the NIH. Well, the National Institute of Health is only a $30 billion component of HHS. You know how big the HHS budget is? Well, it's overwhelmingly big. The NIH consists of the National Cancer Institute, National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, Institute of Dental and Craniofacial Research, Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Disease, Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke, Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, Institute of General Medical Science, Child Health and Human Development, National Eye Institute, and so on. All of these sub-institutes are probably doing good research in part, but the cost of operating all of these individual institutes has to be evaluated. And that's something that's not been done in 50 years in this country. These organizations have just become bloated and bigger and bigger and bigger, and a lot of the money is going unnecessarily, frankly, for management rather than for research. And there's another element to this. I know most of you don't even want to hear this, but I'm just thinking ahead. How much of the research dollars that is spent are sent to foreign laboratories? What percentage of this NIH budget is sent to overseas laboratories like in Pakistan or India? Or even China. How much research are we funding in these countries, and why should we be funding them when we have our own scientists who are going begging? Think of all of the postdoc students in this country who would love a job in basic science. I would take the money from these, as I say, foreign research laboratories or foreign universities and bring it all home. I'd hire American PhDs, American MDs, and research scientists of that nature, and I would make sure the money is spent here. So there's an awful lot that could be done by a competent manager who is thinking of America first. And the same applies to every department in this country. Every department could benefit from a diet, a weight loss diet. Cut the fat out of it by 20%. I guarantee you, if you tightened up all of these institutes, they wouldn't even feel it. And then get rid of a lot of the management. The same thing you would do in a corporation. Take out the management. Don't take out the researchers. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. And don't forget Government Zero for the holidays.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, welcome to hour number three, The Savage Nation. Breaking news is very good news. I mean, there's mixed news, there's bad news, there's good news. Syrians trying to break into America through the Mexican border were caught. That should put an end to the lie of the liberals that they're all coming here to work. Now, the House voted to increase the scrutiny of Syrian and Iraqi refugees, with many Democrats joining Republicans in a common sense measure. The only ones who opposed it are either the head in the sand, knee-jerk liberals, like who? Name him, like Obama himself. He said that they're no more of a threat to us than tourists. This is how sick he is. The man's a nut. The man is a nut. The world is laughing at the nut. France awakened, liberal France. France has joined Russia to take on the new Mongols. But not old Obama. No, Siri Bob, he's doubling down, tripling down, quadrupling down. Now he raises the stakes with his stupidity and says that the Syrians are no different than tourists coming in. You hear this? The man is a laughing stock. A laughing stock, but he's a dangerous laughing stock with a year to go. Other news, they got the ringleader of that terrible massacre in the when they went into those rat's nests of apartments that they give him for free there in Paris. And what happened to Paris, amazing. First they came in, oh, please, thank you, Mr. Frenchman, for taking us in. Didn't work a day in their lives. Sat there collecting welfare, disability, and then plotted to bomb the country that took them in. Oh, boy, liberalism really is a mental disorder. Was I right when I wrote that one? In Israel, an 18-year-old American was killed by Palestinians in a drive-by shooting. 18-year-old from Boston is among three people killed in a Palestinian terror attack in the West Bank, which came right after a knife-wielding Palestinian killed two people in a Tel Aviv attack. Apparently, there is a worldwide jihad going on right now from the Middle East to the Middle West. But of course everyone knows that, except the thin man in the White House. And of course, except for the Harridan, who would be president. She also denies that it's anything to do with clash of civilizations or a clash of religions. She ought to study a little bit of her history to find out that she's wrong. Now, let's go to the callers. Let's go to the callers. KKOB, Leo, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's your point?
Dr. Savage, I think, and I can only hope and pray, that what happened in the House today is more than a knee-jerk reaction, and that it reflects a seed change to the right, and that will give...
Well, when you see Democrats joining Republicans, it puts an end to the big lie that nothing can get done in Washington. Apparently, the Democrats have come to the realization that they can only lie to the constituents for so long, and that the constituencies are freaked out by what happened in France, as they should be, and they want tighter scrutiny on Syrian refugees. So they voted along with the Republicans. That makes sense, except for mad people like Pelosi, who think she's above the law and immune from it because she's surrounded by other nuts like herself.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I think it's sad that it took what happened in France on the world stage to reawaken America to the danger.
Well, that's what it usually takes, my friend. Thank you for calling from KKOB our radio. WGAL in Pennsylvania. Ray, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation. What's your topic?
Dr. Savage, I'll be quick. I'm a martial artist with 40 years experience, and I've also been a certified instructor for over 20 years. And the reason why the people from the Ukraine are such ferocious fighters is I have found over the years that people that come from a life of strife or not such a happy situation or a poor background, whatever, those are the people that fight the hardest because they have a lot of sadness and anger inside them.
Well, that should make me a great fighter. Well, I mean, the truth is that you're absolutely right. Are you still there, Ray? Are you on the line?
I'm still here.
Ray, it happens to be true. I knew it as a child that I would watch boxing matches with my father, and he always told me that the fighter who is the hungriest usually wins. He used the word hungry, meaning hungry to win. You know what I'm saying? He also said that those who have the killer instinct usually win. You would agree with that, correct?
Without a doubt. My instructor used to tell me when I used to go to tournaments, expertise matters, but really who wants it the most is the one that's going to come out on top.
Interesting. Well, I wish that we lived in the same area, my friend. I'd like to shake your hand and talk with you. All I can do is send you a token of my gratitude for your calling the program, which is a copy of my book, which is The Greatest Battle of My Life, called Government Zero. This is not a book. This is a mission. This book is a battle. Every word in that book is a fighting word. You know how they say fighting words? There's not a word in Government Zero that isn't a fighting word. It's amazing. The book is all about fighting against this incredible insanity of liberalism. I know you say, that's too broad a brush. All right, so it's too broad a brush. Fine. Fine, it's too broad a brush. You're happy with your government? I'm not. That's all. WMAL, Ruben, thank you for calling. Make your point. I'd appreciate it. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I listen to your show every day when I come home from work. I'm calling from D.C., so I'm in the thick of it here. And we're talking about possibilities of NIH and things like that. And something that you said struck me when you're talking about the grants that are given and the ridiculousness of some of the grants. But then you said you wouldn't support grants or give out grants based on race, gender, sexuality, maybe some other things. And I guess I want to know what you mean by not giving it based on gender because of the physiological differences according to gender. And
I don't mean that I wouldn't have research studying women or people of different races. I think that's fascinating. I'm very interested in ethnomedicine. It was one of my subspecialties. What I meant was I wouldn't give a grant to an individual just because they're a woman or just because they're a member of a certain race. That would not qualify them for a grant is what I was saying. You get what I'm saying now?
I do now, and that's what I was...
In other words, let's say there are equal number of applicants. They wouldn't be graded whether they're black or white or a woman or a transsexual or a whatever. The science itself would be the winner. Whoever has the best proposal, I would rather it be blind. I'd rather the applicants not even put their name on the application. That's how I would like to see science applications submitted to peer reviews. I'd like to see no names. I'd like to see numbers assigned to them. So we're not giving them based upon a color coding or a gender coding. And that's why I could clean up HHS and NIH. I hope that answers your question, Ruben. Look, it's all a pipe dream. First, what's his name? Donald has to win. Then he has to decide whether he wants to take an outsider like me and put me in charge of HHS or NIH. Then I have to decide whether I want to give up the media and writing books and do that and go in to become a government, you know, personality. I don't know that I have the personality to work in a bureaucracy, to be honest with you. So it's all a pipe dream. And I'm thinking out loud, and I'm doing it for a reason, which is to help you understand that the corruption of this government, which didn't start with Obama, by the way, it started a long time ago, is now so endemic that a house cleaning is in order in every government division and department. That's really all I'm saying. And I could certainly do a great job. It's a question of whether I would want to and whether he would be interested in me. It's that simple. But I want to go back to the Trump candidacy. It's very important you know that the latest poll from Quinnipiac shows that the younger people detest Hillary Clinton. They have run away from her. They don't like her. She's not popular with them, even if they're girls. She doesn't own them. See, this is part of the problem, is she speaks in a way that has such an arrogance to it that it turns the young people off. What she's saying is, I'm a woman, therefore, be a stupid girl and vote for me. I'm a woman, be a stupid minority and vote for me because I'm not a white male. Anyone with an independent mind of any race or sexual orientation is not going to go for that. And that's the card she's playing, and it's turning against her. I personally think that Trump will get the nomination, and I believe that in the final showdown he will crush her. Because she has a horrendous track record as Secretary of State. She has so many skeletons in her closet that they're bound to come out in any debate. And the fact of the matter is, he's the only one who would dare to do it. So I do think there's a high likelihood that if he maintains the stamina he currently has, he will be the next president of the United States. I truly believe that. And I came to that conclusion after his interview on this program yesterday, which I would invite you to try to listen to. I don't know if it's been MP3'd on my site, but it's definitely around somewhere. It was a new high for me in the fact that he and I had a chemistry that I don't hear with anyone else. He has an ability with everyone, every show he goes on, to relate to them in their own way. But he and I have a certain unique quality with each other that I think came through on the airwaves. And many people have sent me emails to that effect. Now, the good news today, and never forget it, is that the House voted a couple hours ago against the threat of a veto by the thin smoker in the White House. They didn't take the bait. They weren't afraid of him. They didn't run away. 16 Democrats joined most Republicans in saying, we're going to increase scrutiny on immigrants from Iraq and Syria. Okay, now it goes to the Senate. Now, that's anyone's guess what will happen in that corrupt body of Whigs, W-H-I-G-S, Whigs. Yeah, okay, well, we'll have to see. Maybe they'll surprise us as well and show some common sense, although I doubt it. The Senate is a wholly different organization because they're more immune to the people themselves, and they do things for their own reasons. And unfortunately, those reasons are often in conflict with common sense and with the will of the people. That's the reality of the Senate. We'll have to wait and see. But never forget this. The vote in the U.S. House a couple hours ago to increase the scrutiny of these refugees is now veto-proof in the House. This is a very big deal to see so many Democrats jumping away from Obama and joining Republicans in this commonsensical maneuver. They made common sense, so they walked across the aisle. Now, how could you argue with that as a liberal? You can't. You understand that? This is a very, very good thing, because the world has finally been awakened to terrorism, with the exception of the few on drugs or on the doxies of liberalism that are so endemic in their DNA that they can't even think any longer. We're going to pay attention to what a group of old women on The View say. I'm going to pay attention to what an actor or an actress says in the middle of a drunken orgy. They're going to get up and give an opinion on it and tell me that they're like tourists. I care what some slut from Hollywood thinks about the refugee situation of Paris. Why don't you just ask Charlie Sheen what he thinks about it? Maybe you can catch him in between one of his orgies, and then he can be held and be invited to the White House. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere, and be sure to read Government Zero.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO. A dance of death in the West. Holland says ISIS threatens the whole world and needs to be annihilated. If you want to see what they look like, take a look at the faces of evil from the London Express. Take a look at their faces and then look around your neighborhood and ask yourself if you need more faces like those in your neighborhood or those like these subhumans that were caught on the raid. By the way, the Muslim bomber was a big pothead, according to his ex-wife. He sat in his apartment and smoked dope all day long. Now, something on that I want to mention that I've mentioned over the years that nobody seems to remember in the media. You know the word assassin, of course. You know where the word assassin derives from? Do you know what hashish and assassin have in common? Did you know that most assassins in the Middle East did use and continue to use hashish before involving themselves in these subhuman events where they become dehumanized themselves from the hashish? Did you know that marijuana and hashish dehumanize you? Which is why Harvey Weinstein, Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and others continue to show marijuana as a healthy herb for you to use. Do you understand that marijuana dehumanizes you? Do you understand that the word hashish and assassin derive from the same root word? Do you understand that assassins to this day still smoke dope before going out on one of their sick missions? Think about that the next time you think you're just having a J. Because you're not just having a J, you're killing your soul. Black Eye for Black Lives hate mongers. Did you see that story? Did you see their hashtag, F Paris? Because the babies, the crybabies in the Black Lives Matter movement were upset that the world was paying attention to real victims. Next story from the New York Post on the Savage Nation. Are you ready for this one? The death of the West, Charlie Clean. After his HIV diagnosis, Charlie Clean spent $1.6 million on hookers. Now you know why he had such a hit on television. Now you know why the media extols these people, because they're one and the same. Muslim congressman defends Muslim Syrian refugees' First Amendment rights, even though they're not citizens, just as we expected from a Muslim congressman. Representative Keith Ellison defends the Muslim Syrian refugees, saying they have First Amendment rights. How could they have rights if they're not here yet? Well, the answer is, as you well know, when you are a co-religionist, you put your religion ahead of your nation. Asked about his reaction to proposals from lawmakers, such as Republican presidential candidate Senator Ted Cruz, to block Muslim Syrian refugees as a precaution against allowing Islamic State terrorists into the country, Ellison said that he had a simple response. I say Congress shall make no law establishing a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, the Minnesota Muslim Democrat said on More Snotty Nonsense by Chicks. So he used one of our laws as a Trojan horse to bring more of them in. Now, of course, most of them won't be suicide bombers or terrorists. We know that. But let me ask you good liberals a question. What if only a small percentage of them turn out to be such? Would you then say that the person responsible for the deaths that result should be arrested? See, I think Ellison should sign a paper that says, I guarantee that none of these Muslim refugees will wind up committing terrorism in America. And if they do, I'll take personal responsibility for it. I'll put up my house. I'll put up my car. I'll put up anything else I own as collateral against such future damage in a fund for any Americans harmed by any of these wonderful, wonderful fellow travelers of mine, or shall I say co-religionists of mine. And I think the same should apply to any one of the other bleeding heart liberals who want the Muslims from Syria to come in here. Put up a piece of collateral and put it into a national fund that shall be used for those victims should they occur. How's that for an idea? I think it's a fine idea. Give me your tired, your poor, and your bomb maker. That should be the new inscription on Obama's Statue of Disliberty. Give me your tired, your poor, and your bomb maker. That should be a new plaque attached to the Statue of Disliberty, erected somewhere in Washington, D.C. Remember, Government Zero warned you about this. No borders, no language, no culture. Read all about President Zero's plans.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Islam is not our adversary. Muslims are peaceful and tolerant people and have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism.
Now, we know Hillary Clinton is a serial liar. We know that she's a liar and has been a liar from the day she appeared on the national stage. But now she is aiding and abetting the enemy. The fact is truth, even if she doesn't accept it, even if Obama's head is in the sand, or God knows where it is, even if the entire liberal media is deluding themselves into thinking there's no war by radical Islam against all people on earth, Muslims included, who do not see the world through their 7th century eyes. Apparently the idiot named Hillary Clinton didn't know about the Fort Hood massacre by Nidal Hassan, the Muslim psychiatrist. Apparently the idiot Hillary Clinton didn't remember that the Boston Marathon bombing was conducted by the Tsarnaev brothers. By the way, in those two cases, Nidal Hassan and Tsarnaev, they were not Christians. They were not Hindus. They were not Buddhists. They were not Jews. They did it for jihad. They yelled Allah Akbar or whatever. July 2015, four U.S. Marines shot dead by a lone Islamic gunman on U.S. Navy facilities in Chattanooga. May 2015, in Garland, Texas, Pamela Geller, along with her group, hosted a Draw Muhammad event. Elton Simpson and Nadir Saufi of Phoenix went to avenge the Prophet. They traveled to Texas, where they were shot and killed by a security guard after opening fire in an attempt to kill her. September 25th, 2014, Alton Nolan is accused of beheading a woman in Moore, Oklahoma. Co-workers reported that Nolan had been trying to convert them to Islam. Nolan reportedly used some Arabic terms during his attack. Nolan told the judge, I'm Muslim. My question is, do you have any Muslims that can represent me as a Muslim, Mrs. Clinton? April 27, 2014. 30-year-old Muslim man Ali Muhammad Brown is accused of shooting to death two men in Seattle. According to reports, he told police the killings were vengeance for U.S. actions in the Mideast. March 6, 2014, registered sex offender James Cosby, 46, accused of bludgeoning his lesbian daughter to death and shooting a lover in Port Bolivar, Texas. He then dumped the bodies near a ferry gate. In his bedroom, Cosby had the Quran open to a page that says, homosexuality is a sin. Did you know that? Did you know that that happened? August 4th, 2013, a Muslim convert, Damon Agnew, went to an Ace Hardware store on a mission from Allah to help people before he fatally stabbed employee Daniel Joseph Stone, 17 times, Mrs. Clinton. April 15th, 2013, Mrs. Clinton, Muslim Chechen brothers Zokar Sarnoff and Tamerlane Sarnoff detonate two pressure cooker bombs during the Boston Marathon race, killing three people and injuring an estimated 264 others, Mrs. Clinton. Did you know that they were Muslims? March 31st, 2013, Rashad Riddle walked into an Astabula, Ohio church and fatally shot his father after an Easter service. After the shooting, witnesses say he walked to the church holding the gun and shouted that the slaughter was, quote, the will of Allah, this is the will of God. February 7th, 2013, Yusuf Abraham, 28, shot two Coptic Christians to death and beheaded them in Buena Vista, New Jersey. He also removed their hands before burying their bodies in the backyard of an abandoned house. Quran 8:12 states, when thy Lord was revealing to the angels, I am with you, so confirm the believers, I shall cast into the unbelievers' hearts terror, so smite above the necks and smite every finger of them. January 15, 2012, a Jordanian Muslim man, Al-Mahmoud Awad Irsan, 57, gunned down Iranian medical student Gelara Bagadra, a friend of his daughter and a Christian convert who widely denounced Islam. He later killed his Christian son-in-law after his daughter married him without permission. I don't want to read any more of this. There are many, many, many more of them. They show that there is a war of terror going on, and it's coming from one particular, let us say, source. Hillary Clinton is a liar. She is doing the world a disservice by continuing to lie. And the fact of the matter is, truth is truth, even if she doesn't believe it or doesn't want to know it herself. Now, the same story is coming out of the mouths of the idiots in the leftist media, that Christians are more dangerous than Muslims, and that the Jews were denied entry in the 1930s, the same way the Syrians are being denied entry. Liberalism is a very serious derangement. It's a very serious mental disorder. They cannot even defend themselves. They will kill all of us unless the truth gets out. So she's trying to demonstrate she's tougher than the thin smoking man in the White House. Does she mean it? Who knows? Who knows what she means? We know that there's only one person who'll do it, Trump, period, end of story. It's simple. He'll unleash the force of hell on them. They won't know what hit them. And it's going to take total war to defeat them. Make no mistake about it. A strike here and a strike there is going to do nothing. Now, I want to remind you of something that many of you are not aware of, and it's a horrible reality, but you know you can't argue with reality. World War II, end of World War II, the Japanese had lost their Air Force, they had lost their Navy. After some horrible battles, we almost lost the war. And there was the issue of taking the homeland, because they wouldn't surrender. The people wanted to surrender, but the militaristic wing of the Japanese people, which was the military, would not surrender because it was not in their culture to surrender. Bushido required they never surrender to an enemy. They'd rather commit suicide. And so they vowed to fight to the death. And the atrocities of the Japanese army throughout the war equaled that or exceeded that of ISIS. You don't understand that. This is not the first time the world has seen this type of barbarism. You can compare it, as I did, and I was the first in the media to do it because I know a little bit about history, to the Mongol invasions, where they killed everyone in town. If they took a city, the Mongols killed everyone except the women that they wanted to enslave and rape. Did you know that? They burnt everything to the ground. They blew up everything. They decimated the whole city. So what ISIS is doing is no different than what the Mongols did. And for that matter, the Japanese did the same thing in many ways. Take a look, for example, at the rape of Nanking. If you know the history of the rape of Nanking, it was an atrocity equal to that of the Mongols. But what I'm getting at is, look at the beheadings of the Japanese military. Look how they beheaded American, Australian, British soldiers they captured. They starved people to death, humiliated them, cut their heads off. So, what am I getting at? There was only one way to defeat such a barbaric enemy. And we had a war leader at the time, Harry Truman. I don't know if you know this little part of history, but his name, Truman, scared the Japanese. When FDR died, the vice president, Truman, took over. And history teaches us that the Japanese leadership was very worried because they said, now we're going to have a real problem because Truman is now in office. Well, the Truman made a decision. He didn't want to kill innocent Japanese men, women, and children. But he knew that in order to break them, he had to break them. And so he used an experimental weapon on Hiroshima and then on Nagasaki, killing mostly innocent men, women, and children. That's even though Hiroshima was largely a manufacturing city for the war machine, but that's a separate story. It was not done so much to take out their war manufacturing capacity. It was done to, frankly, out-terrorize the enemy. I'm sorry to tell you that. In other words, he fought terror with terror. And he also had made that calculation because he knew by what had happened in Okinawa that if he tried to take the Japanese homeland with American troops, we would have lost between 500,000 and 1 million American men. And what he said was, better them than us. You know, a couple of books ago, I said, stop the coming civil war. And I said to you that Obama's been engaged in a civil war against civil society long before he was foisted upon us by the secret hands behind this amazing, amazing situation that we're in. And now the whole world finally recognizes the danger to their societies from Muslims. I mean, in plain English, I can't mince words anymore. Because amongst the good ones, there's some bad ones. At a time like this, you don't bring in refugees. You let it all sort itself out. You get rid of ISIS. Then you even ask yourself, why do we need to bring in refugees at all? I mean, but you don't foist them upon a people that's opposed to it. And yet they continue the big lie. They continue to double down on their double talk. They're saying that they're mainly women and children. The exact opposite is true. Every study has shown that majority of Syrian refugees that Obama is rushing through the gates are single men of military age, and yet they keep lying that they're women and children. I would hope that Jed Johnson and every other official in this corrupt administration be required by an act of Congress to put up a personal surety bond, collateral, in other words, of a house, something in value of $1 million or more, that would go into a fund that will be used for the victims of terrorism, should such victims occur somewhere down the line, from any of the, quote, innocent refugees that they're bringing in. I hear the applause. Savage, once again, you're ahead of the pack. Savage, you came up with a great idea. If they're so convinced that they're all safe and wonderful and wholesome, clean as the driven snow, as it were, then I ask each of these wonderful government officials who are just certain, to a 100th degree of certainty, 100% of certainty, that all of them are innocent, they will not harm us, that they put up collateral for a victims fund, a future victims fund. And should none of these refugees conduct an act of terror within, let's say, a time period of 10 years, they get their money back with interest. See, the fund would earn interest. The collateral will earn interest. Then Jed Johnson, the corporate attorney from Wall Street, who is so sure of these things, even the president should put up some collateral. He's a rich man. He could write a book and get a $20 million advance. Put up the advance of a future book on this fund for innocent victims of these refugees should they occur. Is that irrational? Now, why am I so sure that we're going to have a terrorist attack from amongst the refugees? Why? Because the law of averages would tell us that it's going to happen. The law of average would say that amongst these innocent refugees, there's going to be some bad apples, and they're going to hurt some American people. What do I mean by government zero? It means a government unto itself. A government unto itself. No representation for the American people. An article just came out in the Drudge Report that a governor of Tennessee, was it the governor of Tennessee? No, a lawmaker in Tennessee wants to put the National Guard to stop the refugees. Activate guard to stop refugees. Don't let them into the state. Bring them back to ICE. Do not let any of them into the state. Tennessee GOPLEAD to round up Syrian refugees, remove them from the state. They're not coming to Tennessee. They're yours. He said, take them back to the ICE center and say, they're not coming to Tennessee. They're yours. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Instead, we have Moonbeam in California saying, give us your tired, your poor, and your possible suicide bombers because we need the votes. There's more. It gets even worse, but I don't know how much of this you can take. I personally can't sleep these days. I'm having a rough time. I mean, I sleep, but then I think about this, and the only question that keeps going back and forth in my mind, and it's the pregnant question. There's only one question in my mind. How would you stop it, Michael, if you had the power? And there really is only one answer. And the one answer is not going to happen. You know what the one answer is. There's only one answer to stop a future terrorist attack in America. You know the answer, right? There's only one answer. And we know we can't do it. We cannot do what Franklin Delano Roosevelt did. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America, which is big news. Despite the fact that the smoking thin man in the White House last night threatened Congress once again with a veto, the House of Representatives overwhelmingly just approved legislation toughening the screening of Syrian Iraqi refugees, and a large number of Democrats who realized they'd be thrown out of office joined their Republican cohorts to pass this common sense legislation. Incidentally, it's a veto-proof number in the House. We'll see what the Quislings do in the Whig party, in the Whig side of the aisle. They're so busy with their wigs on, seeing how much money they can make off the war, I guess, that this is of no interest to them whatsoever. You know, the shopping carts could be sent to Syria. God only knows what could be done in between everything else. Think of the money that could be made. If you think no one's going to make money off this crisis, you're mistaken. Look at Catholic Charities. Look at Lutheran Family Services. Look at Baptist Family Services. They've never had it so good. But the truth is the truth, even if no one believes it. And a lie is a lie, even if everyone believes it. The man, the smoking thin man in the White House, has always favored Islam and Muslims. You know that from the day and from the get-go. On ABC News, he referenced my Muslim faith. It was Obama who gave $100 million in U.S. taxpayer funds to rebuild foreign mosques. It was Obama who assured the Egyptian foreign minister, quote, that I am a Muslim. It was Obama who bowed in submission before the Saudi king. By the way, there's an amazing panel of cartoons on the difference between Putin and Obama that came from the Federalist Papers that I put up on my website, michaelsavage.com, because, you know, they say one picture is worth 1,000 words. Putin versus Obama, brilliantly compared in 10 brutal pictures. The Federalist Papers Project. And they're not cartoons, they're photographs. Putin looks China's president in the eye, and they show Putin standing eye to eye with China's president. On the right side, Obama bows like a weak dog to China's president. Putin looks the Saudi king in the eye, stares at him. Obama bends, and you see his behind. Next one, Putin looks Japan's emperor in the eye, standing straight. Obama bows forward to the Japanese prime minister, and the Japanese prime minister looks at him like a moron. And the cartoon bubble says, what's wrong with this idiot? Nobody's supposed to bow to me. I'm just a prime minister. I mean, what is he doing? The next one shows Putin on a judo mat, says Putin is one of the boys. The next one shows Obama on The View with Whoopi Goldberg and the girls. Next one shows Putin controls his dog without a leash. His dog is walking beside him with Tony Blair. The dog is off leash, listening to him. The next one, the next one shows Obama being pulled by his dog, Bo, running behind him. And it says Obama's dog walks him, and there's a cartoon bubble over the dog's head which says, I can't believe this psycho egomaniac named me after his initials, B.O. It shows Putin throwing a man to a mat. Putin, black belt in judo. And then it shows Obama wincing like a girl at the sight of a judo match. Next one shows Putin riding horses. And the one on the right shows Obama riding girly bicycle with helmet. Okay, that's what they did. I mean, I don't know whether you agree with it or not. Just, it's a picture. Then it shows Putin married a soft-spoken beauty. Obama, well, okay, we won't go into that. Putin Eye of the Tiger, Obama feminine look, and smile. When the two of them meet face to face, well, you get the picture. He's a laughingstock on the world stage. The only people who still believe him, in him are Chris Matthews, who gets a chill up his spine and his leg when he sees him.